In the annals of military history, few projects capture the imagination quite like Germany's super heavy tank program during World War II. Today, we dive deep into the fascinating, absurd, and ultimately futile world of the Panzerfaust Maus and the legendary Landkerr projects, the P-1000 Ratta and P-1500 Monster. These were not mere tanks, but mechanical titans that pushed the boundaries of engineering ambition and military practicality to their absolute limits. Our story begins in the summer of 1942, when the German war machine was still riding high on early victories. It was a time when Hitler's megalomania met German engineering prowess, creating a perfect storm of ambition that would birth some of the most extraordinary and impractical weapons ever conceived.
The Panzerfaust Maus, ironically named Maus in German, was anything but small. At 188 tons fully loaded, it remains to this day the heaviest fully enclosed armored fighting vehicle ever built. The irony of its name was not lost on its creators. This was German humor at its finest, calling a mechanical monster after one of nature's smallest creatures. The Maus project emerged from a 1941 strategic study conducted by the industrial giant Krupp, examining Soviet heavy tanks like the formidable KV series. But it was Ferdinand Porsche, the legendary automotive designer who would later create the Volkswagen Beetle, who would champion this colossal undertaking. In early 1942, Porsche received the official contract for what would become the 888-ton behemoth.
The original specifications were staggering. The Maus was to carry 100 rounds of ammunition and be armed with either a high-performance 105mm L60 or L72 gun. But as is often the case with military projects, specifications changed, and the final armament was even more impressive. A 128mm KK-44 L55 gun paired with a coaxial 75mm KK-44 L36.5 gun plus a 7.92mm MG-34 machine gun. Let's pause for a moment to appreciate the sheer scale of this machine. The Maus measured 10.2 meters in length, 3.71 meters in width, and 3.63 meters in height. Its armor was equally impressive, 200 millimeters on the frontal hull, 185 millimeters on the sides, and up to 240 millimeters on the gun mantlet. The turret front was designed to be 220 millimeters thick, though the curved nature of the plate meant the actual thickness varied.
But here's where the story takes a fascinating turn. Due to the complexities of wartime production and the relentless Allied bombing campaign, only two prototypes were ever completed, the V1 and V2 variants. The V1, completed in December 1943, was initially fitted with a mock-up turret called a Belastungsgewicht, essentially a weight that simulated the mass of the actual turret. In one of the more bizarre episodes of the war, this first prototype was painted with Soviet markings, a red star, hammer, and sickle, and disguised as a captured Russian vehicle. Why? The reasons remain murky, but it speaks to the secretive nature of the project, and perhaps a touch of German paranoia about Allied intelligence.
The V1 was powered by a gasoline MB-509 V12 engine, a derivative of the DB-603 aircraft engine, producing 1,180 horsepower. The V2, completed in March 1944, used a more powerful 12-cylinder Daimler-Benz MB-517 diesel engine, generating 1,200 horsepower. Both vehicles employed an innovative petrol-electric drive system, where the engine provided power to electric motors driving each track, a system similar to what Porsche had experimented with in his Tiger prototype. Testing revealed some surprising results. Despite its enormous weight, the Maus was reportedly easy to drive, with the electronic drivetrain providing fine control over the vehicle. It achieved a maximum speed of 22 kilometers per hour, actually faster than expected. The tank even demonstrated decent ability to cross soft terrain, though one can only imagine the ruts it left in its wake.
But the Maus faced insurmountable challenges. At nearly 200 tons, it was too heavy for most bridges. The solution? A snorkel system that would allow the tank to drive underwater, crossing rivers along the bottom. The concept required tanks to be paired up, with one Maus supplying electrical power to the crossing vehicle via a cable until it reached the other side. The crew would receive air through a large snorkel, designed to work at depths of up to 8 meters. By April 1945, as the Third Reich crumbled, both prototypes were located at the Army testing grounds in Kummersdorf. The V-2 was ultimately destroyed by German forces during the retreat, its turret blown clean off and the hull destroyed. The V-1, however, survived and was captured by Soviet forces. Today, a hybrid vehicle combining the V-1 hull with the V-2 turret sits in the Kubinka Tank Museum in Russia, a testament to this extraordinary engineering achievement.
But if the Maus was ambitious, the Landkreuzer projects were simply insane. The story of the P-1000 Rata, the Rat, began with Edward Grote, a Krupp director who had previously worked on Soviet tank projects. On June 23, 1942, Grote presented Hitler with a proposal for a 1,000-ton self-propelled gun, which he had already named Landkreuzer, or Landcruiser. The specifications were mind-boggling. The Rat would have been 35 meters long, 14 meters wide, and 11 meters high. To put this in perspective, it was longer than a modern main battle tank is wide and wider than most tanks are long. The vehicle would have been powered by 8 Daimler-Benz MB501 20-cylinder marine diesel engines, or alternatively, 2-man V12Z 3244 24-cylinder marine diesel engines, generating between 16,000 and 17,000 horsepower.
The primary armament was to be a naval-style turret mounting two 280-millimeter naval guns, the same type used on the Scharnhorst-class battleships. Secondary armament included a 128mm anti-tank gun, 8 20mm Flak 38 anti-aircraft guns, and two 15mm MG-151-15 autocannons. The crew would have numbered around 40 men, making it more like a floating fortress than a tank. One turret was actually built before the project was canceled and was installed in a coastal defense battery in Norway, a fascinating what-if artifact of this incredible project.
But even the Rat paled in comparison to the P-1500 monster. This project, also conceived by Grote in December 1942, was intended as a mobile platform for the Schwerer Gustav 800mm railway gun, the largest gun ever built by caliber and shell weight. The monster would have weighed 1,500 tons and measured 42 meters in length. The 800mm gun could fire a 7-ton projectile up to 37 kilometers, designed specifically for destroying the most heavily fortified targets. The shell alone was taller than a man and weighed more than a small car. The monster would have required a crew of over 100 men and would have been powered by 4 man U-boat diesel engines.
But here's where reality intervened. Albert Speer, Hitler's Minister of Armaments and a man with some grasp of practical engineering, recognized these projects for what they were. Resource-wasting fantasies that would contribute nothing to Germany's increasingly desperate war effort. In 1943, Speer canceled both the Rade and Monster projects, redirecting resources to more practical weapons. The story of these super-heavy tank projects reveals something profound about the nature of Nazi Germany's approach to warfare. They were seduced by the idea of wonder weapons, Wunderwaffen, that could single-handedly change the course of the war. But in reality, these projects represented a fundamental misunderstanding of modern warfare.
Modern combat in World War II was increasingly about mobility, combined arms tactics, and industrial production capacity. The Allies were winning not because they had the biggest tanks, but because they had thousands of reliable, mass-produced vehicles supported by superior logistics and air power. The Maus, despite its impressive armor and firepower, would have been a sitting duck for Allied fighter bombers. Its massive size made it impossible to conceal, and its limited mobility meant it could be easily bypassed or surrounded. The Landkreuzer projects were even more impractical. They would have been visible from orbit and would have required massive infrastructure support just to move from one location to another.
Yet there's something undeniably fascinating about these projects. They represent the ultimate expression of the tank concept, the idea that armor, firepower, and size could dominate the battlefield. They were the dinosaurs of the tank world, magnificent in their way, but ultimately evolutionary dead ends. The engineers who worked on these projects were not fools. They were skilled professionals doing their best to fulfill impossible requirements. The Maus, in particular, demonstrated remarkable engineering solutions to seemingly insurmountable problems, the electric drive system was innovative, the armor layout was sophisticated, and the overall design showed considerable thought.
But perhaps the most telling aspect of these projects was their names. The Moss, Mouse, was named with typical German irony. The Ratte, Rat, continued the theme of naming massive weapons after small creatures. And the Monster? Well, at least that one was honest about what it was. These projects also highlight the danger of unchecked ambition in military planning. When political leaders become obsessed with dramatic solutions and prestigious projects, resources can be diverted from more practical needs. Germany's tank program might have been more successful if the resources devoted to the Maus and Landkreuzer projects had been used to produce more conventional vehicles.
The legacy of these super-heavy tank projects lives on in popular culture and military history. They've inspired countless video games, models, and documentaries. They represent the road not taken in tank development, a path that led to mechanical marvels that were ultimately too big, too heavy, and too impractical for the realities of modern warfare. In the end, the story of the Maus and the Landkreuzer projects is a cautionary tale about the dangers of technological hubris and the importance of practical thinking in military planning. They remind us that in warfare, as in life, bigger isn't always better. Sometimes, the Maus that works is worth more than the Monster that doesn't.
The last Maus sits in its Russian museum, a testament to German engineering ambition and a reminder of what happens when dreams of invincibility meet the harsh realities of modern warfare. It's a 188-ton monument to the principle that the best weapon is not necessarily the biggest one, but the one that actually works when you need it most. As we conclude this deep dive into these mechanical titans, we're left with a profound question. In our own age of technological advancement, what can we learn from these colossal failures? Perhaps the lesson is that true innovation comes not from building the biggest possible machine, but from understanding the real needs of the battlefield and creating solutions that actually work.
The Maus roared only in the minds of its creators. The Landkreuzer projects never left the drawing board, but their stories continue to fascinate us, reminding us of humanity's eternal struggle between ambition and practicality, between dreams of invincibility and the harsh realities of war.